It's the Ruckus number 11.
Welcome to the show. It's episode number 11. Rachel and I are getting ready, all geared up for our big trip to London, England.
The United Kingdom.
I almost said London, France.
Great Britain.
That's just another example of how ignorant people are of geography when they come from the United States.
That's right. Our bad education system.
We're going to London, France. We'll try to remember not to remind the people we run into that we think we're in France.
Or do we have a hard enough time overcoming our accent?
You know, on our top 10 list, one of the things that I said that I wanted to do when we got to London was try to fool the people. Like, just spend one day, maybe near the end of our trip, trying to fool the people into thinking that I was a Londoner.
That would be the day that I'm doing something else.
You don't want to be with me?
I don't want to be around for that.
Good evening, Governor!
That's just obnoxious.
You don't want to be there?
No way.
All right, you don't like hilarity. So we'll get into that a little bit later. We want to start you guys off with some news. I've got ruckus news.
Oh, excellent. Let's hear it.
Before we get into the actual news, I am currently in the process of moving our feed on iTunes because right now it just has a little picture of a little purple guy that the iTunes generic podcast feed looks like.
Okay.
I'm in the process of moving it over to a new feed, which will have, you know, our picture with a little cat and everything and, you know, a better description. Anyways, those of you who are subscribing to us right now through iTunes, starting on episode 15, you may need to resubscribe to keep the feed current on your iPod, or else it will not continue to update. So episode 15, we're switching over to the new feed. So that'll give you guys four episodes to get on board with that. So just remember, you're going to have to unsubscribe and resubscribe.
Can they do that before episode 15 or at episode 15?
They're going to have to do it after we change the feed.
Oh, okay. So we'll remind them again, maybe. Because, like, episode 15 is going to be, like, at the end of May.
Yeah, so...
Or mark your calendars, folks. Yeah. Near the end of May.
I just wanted to give everybody enough fair warning, you know, so they could hear the episode. Because sometimes people, you know, they might wait a little while to hear the episode.
Yeah, okay. But, that's cool.
I think that's how it works. We're really kind of just learning this stuff as we go along. So I'm hoping to be able to change that on the 15th. Or, I'm sorry, on episode 15.
All right, and what other news do you have, Justin?
This is an article that I picked out because of its use of the word teensy.
Oh, excellent.
Teensy. Followed by the word thief.
Teensy thief.
What do you think of when you think of a teensy thief? How big is a teensy thief?
The tip of a pin.
Do you think a teensy thief... Well, that's really little. Huh. Well, your teensy thief could actually do what this teensy thief did. Crawl in through a mail flap.
Oh, yeah.
Teensy thief crawls in mail flap in Vienna. A thief broke into the headquarters of Austria's ruling political party by wriggling through a post flap in the front door.
Those post flaps in Vienna, I mean, do you think they've got like macho flaps over there? You know, Italy's where they... Oh, no, but Vienna is... that's Germany, right?
It's Austria.
It's Austria. Oh, fuck. There's more geography faux pas. People gonna think we're so retarded when they listen to this.
Well... Germany and Austria are practically the same place.
Right.
I think they'll forgive that one.
I'll let you keep going.
London, France is worse, don't you? No, actually, 35 by 35 centimeters. So how big is that?
I don't know, because that's like all European. I don't know my centimeters. I could guess some inches, but I don't know my centimeters.
I think it's pretty fucking small. 35 centimeters?
Yeah, probably.
That sounds pretty little to me. So anyway, it was 35 by 35 centimeter hole.
Mm-hmm.
And he crawled through early on Thursday and stole laptops, mobile phones, notebooks, and cash before crawling out. Now, it says that he crawled out. Go ahead.
That's just what I was going to say. Excuse me. Excuse me. How do you crawl out with all those things? Why don't you just open the door and leave? Highly suspicious.
I imagine he had to have opened the door and left with just one laptop. Anyways, it says, it is such a tiny door for posts and newspapers. He must have obviously been extremely small, adding that the culprit had not been caught. She said it was unlikely the robbery was politically motivated and that the data stolen was not sensitive.
Now, who wrote this story?
This is on Reuters.
Hmm. Highly questionable.
It was just went to print on Friday, so this is current news. Teensy thief. I imagine, you know what I think? I think it was like a monkey.
Oh, a trained monkey.
Yeah.
Okay, I can get behind that. I have some local news. Acres of Books deal is finalized.
That's exciting. Acres of Books having a deal finalized. What does that mean?
Well, you know how we had thought that Acres of Books was going to be shut down for like years and years, and everybody talked about, you know, save Acres of Books and this and that.
I guess we should describe what Acres of Books is.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Acres of Books is this huge bookstore downtown. It's kind of got a musky smell because they've got old books in there.
Yeah.
But they've got thousands of old books. And when they say acres of books, it probably is like an acre, that bookstore.
It's huge.
And yeah, and you just... It's hard to find exactly the book that you're looking for at a place like that because they're not real good at the upkeep of the alphabet.
Right.
Like they are at Powell's.
Right.
You know, and the thing about it is I don't know anybody who really shops there.
Well, you know, you don't go there. Like I made the sad mistake one year of I got an anthropology class and I thought, oh, shit, I am going to save so much money on this textbook. I'm going to go to Acres of Books and get it. And, you know, so you don't go there, like, looking for, you know, an urban anthropology book, you know, an old edition. You're not going to find it. I even asked the people who work there to help me. They have a computer and everything. And, you know, it didn't go so well. So you don't go there looking for a specific book. What you do is you go there to be immersed in like, an ocean of books and just sort of leisurely stroll and let your eyes rest on things and... You know, it's sort of an experience like that. Like you, it's so sort of like a poetry kind of thing.
Well, certainly if you don't care what you get, but you're like, man, I really wish I could find a book on computers from the 80s, then you could find a whole wall of them. You know what I mean? Or like, man, I really want to find something about like World War II. Then there's a whole wall of them to peruse, you know?
I saw the coolest illustration book there. It was illustrations of white women from like the 50s, but they were illustrated in these settings and these get-ups like they were Native Americans in these various silly sunsets and on horses and bathing by waters and, you know, and they're white women and it was just fucking awesome. But it's like, you know, it's one of those gems, those precious jewels. You just stumble over it when you're there. You know?
You told me about that. That sounds really cool.
It was fabulous.
I would love to see that book.
Yeah, and the horror section's good. They have lots of great Stephen King and, you know. So I love Acres of Books. It's a fun place to go. And
I like the idea of Acres of Books. I can't remember the last time I actually tried to shop there, though.
Long Beach loves Acres of Books. So it turns out that they don't like Acres of Books there. It's in an old building. They want to, as part of their revitalization part of downtown Long Beach, they wanted to level the whole area and level that building and probably build fucking more condos or something ridiculous like that.
Well, you know, they probably scrapped that idea because of what's happening in the market. Like, they probably were totally, oh, yeah, we're never going to make this deal with Acres of Books, whatever your deal is. But they probably realized, like, the market made a turn for the worse, and they're like, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't put up new condos there.
I don't know what they're going to do with it exactly, but next summer, the Acres of Books is going to relocate. probably outside of Long Beach. That's part of the deal, is they get money to relocate.
That's
and
cool.
They're getting the people who own it, the Smiths, are getting $2.8 million from the city, and the city is probably going to level, you know, that city block and do something else with it.
That's the deal they came up with?
Yeah.
They ran them out of town?
Yeah, that's what they wanted to do. That's exactly what they wanted to do.
Well, yeah, I guess they don't care, you know, as long as it's gone.
Right, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you feel about that?
Well, what I like about Long Beach is that it's got some really cool old buildings, and parts of the downtown area has got like a seedy feel, and I think that that's kind of charming, frankly. I mean, we lived in Long Beach pretty much my whole life. My grandma lived in downtown. I've been walking around downtown since I was 13. That's like 20 years. And I've always loved the fact that some parts of it smell bad and some parts of it are really old and some parts are gross and then some parts are cool. And I liked that about it. And so, and I don't like all the condos going up and the artist lofts and all that bullshit. So I don't, you know, I'm bummed.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Acres of Books being there.
It's me too.
It kind of gives you like a, like Indiana Jones might be in the next aisle researching his next fucking dig.
Exactly. It's just such an atmospheric place. And the people who work there are cool and hilarious, freaky, kooky people. And there's a cat there, you know, just walking around or sleeping. I just liked that place a lot. That's all.
Yeah.
The well, end.
That's cool. Do you remember the last time I asked you about Patna, India?
Did you?
Yeah, it was some sort of tiger story. The dude who like went behind the tiger cage.
Oh yeah,
to take
okay,
a picture.
Okay. I didn't know we were in the same location again. Okay.
Yeah, apparently Patna is a very interesting place. Hundreds of villagers have flocked to a remote Indian village to see a baby girl who was saved by stray dogs after she was abandoned in a mound of mud by her mother.
Wow.
So Mama took the baby down to the riverbank. And I guess it just buried her in mud.
Wow.
And a pack of dogs found her and they were getting ready to parent her, is what it sounds like.
Probably.
Yeah. So
that happens in India.
Well, I don't think it's just an Indian dog thing. I think it could happen anywhere that a dog could take a baby.
Yeah, but the feral children that they find, they mostly find in India.
Yeah.
The children raised by dogs.
Mowgli was Indian, wasn't
exactly.
He doesn't really look that Indian to me, but the girl at the end of the Jungle Book, definitely Indian. So the baby was captured by the dogs, not captured, the saved.
Adopted.
Adopted by the dogs. The baby was adopted by the dogs. They removed the soil around and began to bark, and the baby started crying, which drew attention of the local villagers. So the villagers came down, and she was adopted by a regular bipedal family, and that's it. She was this close to being the next Jungle Book.
Wow. Well, I'm glad she's okay.
Yeah, adopted by dogs.
That makes me want to say a bunch of things that I know about feral children, which we're going to save for a later episode, but cool.
We definitely should do that because Rachel has discovered plenty of fascinating information about feral children through her research because we watched The Jungle Book.
Because you didn't believe it could really happen. Here we go, honey. Footage of John Lennon smoking pot, writing songs, and discussing putting LSD in President Nixon's tea is the focus of a court case. Yoko Ono is in a legal feud over rare Lennon footage. They were shooting a documentary back in 1970, and I think they had like about 90 minutes or something of very candid, raw, conversational footage of John Lennon. He does a couple songs, and he just gets really honest about a bunch of things, and Yoko Ono owns the rights to the original tapes. She does not want that apparently made public or made into a film for the public to see.
What do you think is the reasoning?
I put a lot of faith and trust in Yoko Ono, actually, and in terms of her understanding the artistic vision of John Lennon, I suspect that they were very close and they knew each other very well. And I think that she thinks that this isn't the time or the place in history for that to come out. Maybe there will be a better time, but I bet you she thinks that, you know, she's a big thinker. They were both big thinkers.
Yeah.
And there's a fucking lot of shit going on in the world right now that's not so good. And I don't think that she thinks that this is the appropriate time for that to be released to the public.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of people who don't like Yoko Ono. And I think it's just based on their knowledge of the Beatles.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm right with you. Like, I totally have full faith that it's either not something that we need to see, or it's just, you know, I can't imagine that she's just keeping it back because, like, you know, she's being selfish or whatever, or maybe because it paints her in a bad light or something like that. I totally am right with you. Like, I have full faith in her ability to know what is wise to release and what isn't.
Yeah, totally. It's like, it's totally okay with me. I think that, you know, I hope she wins the court case. And
yeah. I found a news story, which I started to read and did not bring originally because it just wasn't interesting enough to comment on.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently there was Elvis took a trip to London.
Oh, that's amazing.
It is, because his only foreign tours were like in Canada. He never really left the country. I guess he did a few times. You know, well, he was in the army, but like he didn't... He was a big traveler, and there's only been one picture ever released of Elvis in London, and that was him switching planes. but actually, it has come to light that he actually did take a trip to London in private at least once with this other rocker named Tommy Steele, and apparently they were buddies. And actually, you know what, in the article, it made it sound like there was... It could have been a little bit more than just friendly hanging out in London time for Elvis.
Oh, perhaps he had gay relations with this man.
That's what it sounded like from the way that certain things were worded in the article.
Well, I hope so for Elvis's sake. I think it would be good for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, maybe that's why he was so upset. Maybe that's why he died and was always bashing up his televisions and stuff. He couldn't reconcile.
Possibly.
With himself.
Anyways, speaking of rock, how about if we play you a song by a band called De Novo Doll called Shout? And I will go ahead and cue that up for you right now, and we'll take a listen to it. You excited about that?
I'm pretty excited.
All right, let's hear it.
Shout, shout, let all your fears
Oh, that was so uplifting.
You know that that band, De Novo Doll? They have actually performed with Outside Residential before.
Oh, that's cool.
Before this episode, they played at the Pearl in Dayton, Ohio together.
When are we going to play Outside Residential as our song of choice?
Maybe we will do that on episode 12. People, I think, would like to hear what Outside Residential sounds like.
Well, I think so.
He does this really cool... Well, actually, before I tell you this, De Novo Doll, DENOVODAHL.com. What? Why are you laughing
that
at me?
That was amazing that you could spell that. Like, I just got my eyes crossed.
Well, anyways, that's their website. Check them out. They have a new album that just came out recently. Their first album, I think it's their first album, Cats and Kittens, a lot of fun. Really good album. High energy. Fun band. They're from Tennessee. Anyway, yeah, episode 12, we'll play Outside Residential.
They don't sound like anything you'd expect people from Tennessee to sound like.
No, no. What would you imagine? Like a banjo?
Well, yeah, I guess. That's pretty cool. I'm excited.
You know, Tennessee is the home of rock and roll.
Yeah, I know. Tennessee's awesome. I love Tennessee. Our time in Tennessee, I enjoyed quite a bit.
As did I. Mm-hmm. As did I. So anyway, Outside Residential will be on our next musical guest.
Our topic for today is the fact that we are leaving for London very shortly. In fact, we will be on the plane on April 28th at 8:30 p.m. Pacific time on the plane, getting ready to go.
Less than a week from today, we will be on the plane.
We're going to be up in the air over the ocean on my birthday.
That's actually kind of cool.
I know.
You will be in international waters when you turn 112.
Yes. Actually, it's 35, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm not a girl who worries about telling people how old I am. But, yeah, I was thinking maybe we could have a little impromptu Atlantis-themed birthday party on the plane, and we'll make little hats and scepters, and we'll eat sushi.
Oh, that would be really cute.
That'd be fun.
If, like, right at, like, the time change, we'll have to look at a map to see where the time zone changes over also to make sure we don't miss it. If we had, like, a little cupcake birthday party for you on the airplane.
Get all of our neighbors to sing along.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and all of the Ruckus listeners, you should definitely send Rachel your birthday wishes, because her birthday will be coming up on the 29th, and, yeah, she likes to hear nice things.
I do. I love my birthday. Yeah. I like to celebrate a Hanukkah birthday.
Rachel is one of these people, too, where it's like she tells everybody in her family exactly what she wants for her birthday. Like, you get me this. You're going to get me that.
No, my family is very cooperative that way.
Yeah, that's nice. So, yeah, we will have a midair birthday. That's very exciting. I hope they show a movie or something.
We're going to be asleep most of the time, I think, because it's an 11-hour flight, mm-hmm. which we've mentioned before, and yeah. We will need to have had a full night's sleep, because when we arrive in London, it'll be 3 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to be weird.
It will be. You know what? I'm predicting I will have no problem with jet lag. I think I could kick it pretty easy.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty confident about it, too.
Yeah, because it's like, you know what? If I feel like staying up till 3 in the morning... I'm good for it.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm good the next day, too.
I think that, you know, probably the first half day in London is going to be a little funky, but after that, it's going
to
be fine.
You remember when the first day we got to Guatemala?
Yeah.
We went outdoors for like 25 minutes as soon as we got to Antigua, and then it was straight to bed.
Well, that's because we had absolutely no sleep on the plane. We took a midnight flight, and then we arrived in Guatemala at 6 a.m., and there was a fucking crazy bitch laughing and yapping her mouth off right behind us the entire fucking time.
Is that true?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
I remember it very clearly, and I couldn't get any sleep at all. And I was exhausted.
What if when we go to London, we're sitting next to that same woman, like the exact same woman?
I'm going to have earplugs. I've got earplugs hooked up, dude. The wax kind that perfectly shape the inside of your ear. I can't fucking wait. So why are we going to London, Justin? Why now? Why London?
I think that the simple answer is we found tickets on Travelzoo.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Those of you who aspire to be travelers, but you think that it costs a lot of money, or you think that it's unobtainable to just get up and go from time to time, honestly, the resources are there. If you're really serious about wanting to go and you're just making up reasons why you can't, that's called a self-limiting behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Damn straight.
You can absolutely travel whenever you want. You just have to be smart about it. The first place to start, Travelzoo. Absolutely. Get on their mailing list, travelzoo.com. They send you a weekly email and they tell you all the cheap rates.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It's true. It's like, you want to go to New Zealand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's fortunate for us is that there's so many parts of this planet that you and I have not seen yet, and so many that we're open to wanting to see.
Oh, I'll go pretty much anywhere. I don't care.
Yeah.
I love to travel.
Absolutely. So London was a cheap ticket. And
$250 round trip for each of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's pretty damn cheap for the other side of the world.
So if you guys, you know, how much do you spend on pairs of jeans and stuff, you know? Wear your jeans a little longer and fucking see the world.
Mm-hmm. You can't even get to New York round trip for $250.
Sometimes you can.
Well, if you're us.
Right.
But, in fact, I saw New York for $99 each way. But anyway.
Oh, San Francisco's on there all the time and it's like $39.
Yeah, I transgress.
Okay.
So, yes, so there's London, and we're excited, and we're going, and we've never been.
So really, is that really the only reason why we're going to London? Because there's more to it than just, because there's been cheaper places than that.
Well, I'll be frank. London isn't my first choice of the next place for us to go. It just so happened that it was really cheap to go.
Yeah.
And so that's why we're going.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it.
I'm excited, too. But yeah. I'm just telling you, like, I'm not like, where do you want to go next? Ooh, I want to go to London. No, not really, you know, but no, I don't want to, you know, I'm stoked. But London's going to be very expensive. The dollar is very weak right now. So
true.
It's 50 cent to the British pound. That means that everything is twice as expensive. For example, our hotel, $1,300 for 6 nights in our hotel. Would have been $650 if, you know, was dollar for pound, but it's not. So it's like we're getting karmic payback for Guatemala, which was ridiculously cheap.
That's true. That's true. That Guatemala, if you want to live like a king, fucking Guatemala, your dollar goes real far.
There. Oh, yeah. It's unbelievably how cheap. It's wonderfully cheap in Guatemala. So, you know, I guess it all balances out in the end. Yeah. But
so I'm excited about London. There's a lot of really old buildings and, like, old cemeteries that we can see, and the theater's supposed to be really cool there. Like, there's supposed to be all kinds of places where you can go see street theater.
Yes, and other people have recommended that we do a lot of different things that have been to London. And my Aunt Lonnie, for example, who's a costume designer, is one of the people who's like, oh, you have to do the theater while you're in London. I mean, that's the only place in the world where you absolutely have to see the theater.
Your Aunt Lonnie sounds kind of like a pa-pa-pa-pa.
That's fucking exact. She sounds like a gay man trapped in a woman's body is what my Aunt Lonnie sounds like. She drives me nuts, but, you know.
But we will be checking out the theater, or at least we plan to, right?
Well, I don't know. We haven't made up our mind yet. I mean, there was Into the Hoods, which is Into the Woods, but set to rap music. And then there's a Peter Pan in Espanol, the musical.
Peter Pan. It says Peter Pan, el musical.
Right? But I don't think we've really made up our mind yet about which one we want to see.
Well,
I'd like to see some Shakespeare, personally.
I would love to see something like Midsummer Night's Dream or that Oscar Wilde one.
The Importance of Being Earnest.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they're very British.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see something like that. But you know what? I would also like to see something in the small theater, to be quite honest. Like,
yeah.
Not that Shakespeare probably be in the fucking park, you know? But, like, I'd like to see a small production from London, like, from a Londoner. Maybe, like, you know, something new.
Something avant-garde, perhaps?
Not necessarily, but, you know, like, something that somebody from living in London has written recently, you know?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I'd like to do that. But I don't want to, like, get a huge list of things that I want to do together, because we've already got some things planned.
What do we have planned?
We have the board game meetup, which is happening on the 30th. And that is where we will be going to the pub and meeting with some local Londoners, and we will be playing board games with them, people that I met online at meetup.com. We talked about this in the last episode where, you know...
We did.
You remember at the end of the episode?
No, I don't remember.
Oh, okay. Well, we did. So we are going to be doing board game meetup, hanging out at a pub, drinking, playing games, laughing, meeting new people. I'd like to keep it kind of open in case, like, you know, something like that leads to, like, hangout time.
Well, me too.
Well, that's kind of how we are when we travel. Like, you and I don't really have a huge itinerary. Like, we'll put together, like, maybe two or three things that we really want to see, and we'll have knowledge of a few other things that might be happening, but nothing's really set in stone.
We like to be very flexible in our plans. It's part of our travel philosophy. You know, some people, they like to be at 8 a.m. We're going to have breakfast because we have to catch the tour. It starts at 9. It's going to take us all around the city. We're going to run, run, run. We're going to have a planned lunch for 30 minutes. And then, oh, and by the way, if something goes wrong, then we're going to be very mad because our whole plan got fucked up.
You know, when we were in Guatemala, there were like days in a row where I don't think I've looked at my clock once.
Yeah.
Where it's like, we don't have our phones. We don't, you know, we'll stop in an internet cafe for about 20 minutes to kind of journal about our trip. And maybe we should do that for London. Like, we should put it on the Ruckus website or something.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. And, you know, so we'll do that. But other than that, like, we don't spend a lot of time looking at clocks or, like, talking on phones. Certainly, there's no fucking email or anything like that. We just kind of, like... kind of let that kind of go away.
Well, I mean, you know, when you're in a new place, all you need to do is put on your walking shoes and go. And you're going to have adventures. And maybe you're going to get lost. And that is awesome.
Yeah.
And maybe you have to talk to people about how to get back home. And then you're talking to local people. And that's awesome.
I wonder what that'll be like in London, though. Because London is a lot like the U.S. in that, like, people... look at clocks and, like, you know, fucking Big Ben is one of their landmarks. You know, it's tea time, it's after tea time, it's high lunch, you know? So, like, maybe that'll be a totally different environment where we have to be keeping track of time in order to do things, you know?
I guess we're gonna find out.
Yeah. I think there's a little more hustle and bustle in London compared to Guatemala. So, what are some of the things that you feel like we have to do when we get to London?
Well, the few things that are high on my list include going to a cemetery. I don't really care which one we go to. I just want to go to a cemetery.
I'd like to see at least a couple, to tell you the truth.
I want to see the crumbling remains of the old Roman wall. Out of all the fucking history in London and the fucking castles and Stonehenge and all that bullshit, I only want to see the crumbling remains of the Roman wall. Because modern, thriving, crazy London is built all around it. Like, it's just something on the sidewalk and everything else is happening in modern time. So it's not like it's, you know, in a museum or you're taking a special trip somewhere to see it. It's like this really fucking old ass thing right in the midst of everything happening in the moment. And that makes me so excited.
That's the cool thing about just Europe in general. Is there's history in everything, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because those countries are hundreds and hundreds of years old, you know, with architecture and all that stuff. And it's like, we don't have anything that's even close to that old here. I mean, like, the American colonial stuff is clearly the oldest thing we can find, unless we're looking at, you know, Native American burial grounds that have basically all been covered up, you know?
Well, you know what I want to do that I'm a little bit worried about, actually, is one of the things that I did have on my list was to go and see, like, try to find, like, one of the oldest pubs and go there. Like, you know, some of the oldest ones were built, like, in 1600 or something. Do you know what I mean? and they're still intact and they're still in use and they're still pubs. The problem is that when I started to look that up in books and online, I realized that there are lots of places that knew that tourists were looking for the oldest pub and they were touting themselves as the oldest pub, and maybe they were pretty old, but they were totally like not a place where locals went to drink. They were totally just tourist traps for people like me looking for the oldest pub, and I got totally turned off by it. So now I've thrown that idea out the window.
Yeah, we're not real into like going to the touristy places. Although when we did get to Antigua, we went to that little jazz club. You remember?
Yeah, but was that a touristy place?
Well, I don't think there were any Antiguans in the audience. It was all travelers. Like, remember we saw like that Danish kid and like the Swedish kid, and
well, also Antigua as a city is we're all, I mean, it's a really international city in terms of everybody comes there for language schools. So yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. Maybe it was a tourist trap.
You didn't feel like it was a touristy place?
Well, I think it certainly is interesting that the difference in perceived tourism and real tourism that we're communicating with each other right now as we reminisce about Antigua.
Well, you know, I just think that like when we get to London, I don't want to go to a McDonald's. You know, I don't want to go to like, it's the oldest pub in London, you know, open through the turnstile, and you know what I mean?
Like, well, I mean, I don't either. And that's kind of the thing, is it like the people that we've been talking to have been, oh, you've been to London, great. What do you recommend we do? People are like, oh, you got to go to Buckingham Palace. I don't fucking want to go to Buckingham Palace. I don't give a shit about Buckingham Palace. Go to the Tower of London. No. You know what? The only thing I want to see, maybe, is where, like, all those people got beheaded, like, where Anne Boleyn got beheaded and stuff. That might be cool to see, because, like, that's the shit that's, you know, a lot of people got beheaded in London, okay? But
Here's what I predict. You and I will kind of be poking around, and, like we do when we're traveling, we'll be walking the streets of London, poking around, and we'll look over to the left and we'll be like, hey, look, it's Buckingham Palace half a mile away. You want to go? Okay, why not? Like, that'll be the way we see
some
of that stuff.
Yeah, if we see that. If we see it, or I'll be like, Buckingham Palace, there's going to be a million people there. How about we go it's time to turn around and go the other way now.
Because,
I'm serious.
Yeah. Because there's that really hilarious homeless person over there and he's doing street performance.
Right? Other things I definitely want to do, I want to take afternoon tea. I want to have an authentic British tea experience. I am super, super excited about tea and crumpets.
This is your have to do thing?
Yeah. Oh, seriously.
Can I wear one of those corn, what was the hat that he wore, and ask for a cucumber sandwich?
Whatever you'd like, dear.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
The guy in The Importance of Being Earnest, he was always eating the cucumber sandwiches.
Did he have like a bowler's hat on or something? Or?
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, we're going to play it up. I'm thrilled. I want to drink a Guinness in London, which is one thing that was recommended to me that I will take them up on.
Okay.
I want to go to a bookstore. I don't care which one.
Cool.
And I want to go to the Royal College of Surgeons.
Okay. I know what that is.
The Royal College of Surgeons, they've got like a, well, you know, medical history and surgery and all that, it goes back, you know, probably at least 100 years there in England.
That's a very long time.
And, you know, of course, medicine has evolved, but they used to do shit like everybody used to stand around on a second level terrace and watch somebody do a live operation. And you could look down and watch it and take notes and shit and ask questions and stuff.
Do they not do that anymore?
They do every once in a while still do that.
It's called an operating theater.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that shit, right? But then over the years, too, like if somebody had elephantitis of the nuts and they died, they put it in a jar and it became a part of like medical study. And if you were a doctor in training, there was this entire museum at the Royal College of Surgeons where you can go and see all that shit. You know, before there was the internet and, you know, all that stuff, like it was really in a fucking jar. And they still have that stuff there in the jar.
That's pretty cool.
I can't wait. I cannot wait to go there and see the jars of cool shit. All the fucking diseases and, oh.
Maybe there will be like a little baby and it'll tell us to do things.
I hope so. I think that there's like somebody's brain is in there too. Like a famous person's brain is on display in there.
No.
Yeah, I can't remember who though, which is really not interesting for the listeners. It's like Einstein or somebody like that. Like there, somebody really cool person's brain is there.
Yeah, well, I hear that there are scientists who study Einstein's brain, so could be.
It could be there. So, that's not. Finally, this is a very sad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem with what we do. Also, we try to save money by not purchasing a bunch of current travel books. We go to the library and get travel books, and that's where we do our research.
Yeah.
And apparently we had an old edition of a travel book, which told me about Mr. Potter's Museum of Curiosities. The thing about Mr. Potter is he was a self-trained taxidermist, and what he liked to do was do little kittens having a wedding party all dressed up with jewelry on, taxidermied, and rats having a drinking party, or hamsters playing cricket. And I was like, holy fucking shit. That is what I've got to see while we're there,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Well, the internets have told me today, as I was doing my research for today's episode, that in 2003, it all went up for auction and was sold off piece by piece.
Aww.
Yes, that's the sound of my heart breaking. Thank you very much.
Whoops. But apparently,
I'm so sad.
I don't know what to tell you.
I can only hope we could come anywhere near as cool as that was going to be, you know?
Yeah. Well, maybe, we'll meet somebody who dabbles in taxidermy. Somebody named Nigel.
So what are some of the things you absolutely wanted to do?
Well, the board game meetup thing I wanted to do, definitely. That's the one thing I'm actually the most excited about, is hanging out with people. And we're also going to go see the Sherlock Holmes Museum. I am a huge Sherlock Holmes nerd. I've read every single book in the canon and then stuff that is also not considered the canonical Sherlock Holmes, because it was not penned by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Anyhow. No, they have the Sherlock Holmes Museum. It's at 221B Baker Street. And they have an office in there that's supposed to be done up just like the way that the office is described in the books.
His study or something, right?
Yeah, it's Sherlock Holmes' study. And then there's a walking tour you can do, and you can see all the places that are in the different little stories. Which, I could take or leave that. I'm not real big on tours. It's got to be real interesting for me to be into like going on a tour. You know what I mean?
I have only been on one tour, I think. I was on a tour once when I was very young, but in recent history, Rachel history, the one tour I loved, they did a ghost walking tour of New Orleans. And, like, it's the South, and it's New Orleans, and that was amazing.
Yeah.
I think they have haunted tours of London, too. And, I don't know, maybe, but I just, I'm real suspicious of tours. Just
sounds kind of lame.
Well, it can be cool. You know, a ghost tour of London might be really interesting if it's done right, because a ghost tour not only tells you the ghost story, which is usually pretty fun, but it also tells you, it's got a historical context, the ghost story. So you get to learn history, as part of it. And that can be really cool.
Yeah. Well, the tours I've been on, we toured that plantation together when we were in Tennessee.
Yeah, but nobody took us on a tour. We just walked through it, right?
They sure did. That's where we learned about the horses.
Oh, yeah,
you remember,
that's right.
We walked
that
through
was,
the house.
You're right. You're
fucking
right.
Fucking boring.
Yeah, no, you're right. That tour. But the plantation rocked.
I went on a tour of Graceland. Same shit. It was so fucking boring.
Yeah.
And it's like that's... Seeing the stuff is really cool. And kind of having the information is kind of cool. But while you're on it, just fucking snore.
Well, the chick who did this ghost tour in New Orleans was amazing.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that, like, you have to get the guy that's like Vince Vaughn in that movie, in The Breakup.
Yeah.
Somebody who really enjoys what they're doing, and they you know, they treat it like a performance.
Yeah, this woman was an actress, so, you know, she really hammed it up. And her 10-year-old daughter had been on the tours with her over and over again, so sometimes the daughter wanted to do the pee, which was really cute when the little kid's like, telling you the scary ghost story now, you know?
I like that we've digressed into like how to give a proper tour.
Well, you know, whatever. But what else did you definitely want to do? We got Sherlock Holmes, we got the board game meetup.
Everything else, I just have full faith in the fact that we will find the other cool shit to do. I mean, there's things that I'd like to do. I'd like to go out to the countryside, you know, and
that sounded good to me too, if we can get out there cheaply.
Yeah, get away from the city a little bit. I'd like to I don't know. I think that's it. Just getting out of the city and hanging out and doing the Sherlock thing, and I'm good.
What about the London Eye? Didn't you want to do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, somebody told me to go on that, and you and I talked about it a long time ago, and we didn't have a lengthy conversation, but it's pretty much, fuck no. And then I was like, I agree, right?
Well, the London Eye is this incredibly huge, basically an incredibly huge Ferris wheel. But instead of little thing carriages that you sit in, and there's like little pods, little contained pods, and it goes unbelievably high to the point where you can see on a clear day absolutely all of London. Really fucking high.
How fast do you think it goes?
I don't think it goes very fast.
Oh my god. Anyways, somebody has suggested to me that I should go on the London Eye. I kind of feel like I really want to. And if I don't do it, you know, I'm going to kind of regret not going on it. Because I would just love to get up there and take some pictures. The only problem is I am completely terrified of heights. So so I'm having a little bit of... I haven't fully committed yet, but I feel like I really want to go up there.
I have no doubt that it's cool. I have no doubt that it's an amazing once-in-a-lifetime experience. But unless I'm really drunk, I will be a mess. I'll cry. I can't stand heights.
No, I think that's even worse if you're drunk.
No, if I'm really drunk, I won't care.
Okay.
I won't care. But, yeah.
Well, maybe we will both go up in the London Eye then.
I suspect I will not do it.
Okay. How fast do you think it goes?
Not very fast.
See, that's the worst. It's when they're letting somebody out on the bottom while you're on the very tippy top. I hate that.
I can't. I won't survive.
You know what's even worse?
I'll have a meltdown.
Have you ever been on a Ferris wheel where, like, you're on the tippy top and you're like, oh my god, at least now we're coming back down again, and then it backs up?
I just... Every Ferris wheel I can remember being on, I remember crying and hanging on for dear life, and the top being the absolute worst.
Uh-huh.
Except for when you start to go down and then your carriage tilts back a little bit, like you're going to fucking fall backwards.
The very cusp of the beginning of the descent.
Oh my god.
Yes.
God, fuck that. Hell no. So we've had trouble. I'm going to go ahead and change the subject for a second.
All right.
We've had trouble at the beginning and even now getting in touch with our friends that live in London and your cousin that lives in Paris.
Now, to be fair, mm-hmm. I haven't tried calling her.
Well, to be fair, we can't afford to get over to Paris anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
No, but maybe she could afford to come to London.
Well, maybe. But so that's one of the problems we've experienced.
Yeah, and you know what? I wonder, are they just not responding because they think that, you know, they're obligated to let us stay in their house if they talk to us? Because I would like to just see them.
Well, that's the thing, is that these are people that you met when you worked at the YMCA at camp, and they were camp counselors, and the ones that I remember meeting were very fun-loving people. And what better way to get to know a city than to spend time with the people who live there, who show you their favorite places? And that's what I was really excited about.
Yeah, I was excited about it, too. I haven't heard back from them. Maybe I'll try to email them again or something.
Send them a reminder email and just go, okay, we're there in a week, and we'd love to meet you for a drink or something. Just to say hi, you know?
It's funny because, like, when you work at these camps, you have this promise of so many people to hang out with all over the world because they always hire international staff. So, you know, technically Rachel and I have friends in like Australia,
Brazil.
To be quite honest, out of everybody we've ever met at any camp experience, the people in Brazil are the ones I would most like to go hang out with.
And they're the ones that I suspect would be good on their promise to hang out with us.
Absolutely.
Like, I know we called Mishi, we're coming to Brazil. She really would. She'd fucking show up at the airport. She'd be so excited. And yeah. I know that she would. Like, you know, yeah. there wouldn't be a dead silence. Like, she'd come back at us, you know?
That would be so fun, too.
It would be.
To go to Brazil and hang out with Mishi.
And everybody from Brazil is beautiful. They don't have ugly people in Brazil.
What was our little nickname for Mishi?
The Good Warrior?
No. Cookies.
Oh, yeah. Cookies. Because that's how she said cookies. She said cookies.
I know a little Portuguese because of Mishi. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Baixe fude.
Oh, I know that Portuguese.
It means go fuck yourself.
Yes.
So if you guys go to Brazil, don't say baixe fude unless you really mean it.
Or unless you're saying it to a friend and you're laughing, in which case. Let's talk more about our travel philosophy, Justin. Like, you know, like we hate cruises.
I can tell you very, you know, succinctly what it is about cruises that I don't necessarily like.
Okay.
I think we kind of covered that with like saying that, you know, we're not into doing all the real touristy things. To me, a cruise is like the mall on a boat and you can eat there.
Well, I think that a cruise is a great way to launch into why we like to travel and what our traveling philosophy is, because a cruise is a bunch of people from your own fucking country locked together on a boat on the water in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. What kind of cultural experience that's new are you having doing that? None. So, by comparison, if you go to a place like Guatemala or Brazil or London, you know, and you're us, then we're going to try to get away from the touristy places. We're going to try to find places where we just sort of wander into or stumble into a little neighborhood and play, kind of play a little game in our head where as long as we don't open our mouths, possibly we can pretend like we live there, or maybe we can blend, or we can observe, you know, what the people there are doing and really get a taste of what this new culture is about and whatnot.
Yeah, you know, when we go places, I try to take in as much as I can about, like, what is it like for the people who live here, you know? I try to capture a sense of that. Of course, it's almost impossible to do, but certainly I know people who travel and would look for the McDonald's immediately, or, you know, their trip is ruined if it rains.
Right. Yeah. Like I know somebody who she's traveled all over the world with her husband. Like, she's always going places, and everywhere she goes, she tries to look for the closest thing to American food she can find while she's there. And it always kind of blows my mind. It's like,
oh my God,
why would you go to India and try to find a Starbucks?
You know, when we travel, I just try to take it all in. I don't want to be guided. I would like to go as far away from, like, the tourist things as possible and get into, like, the places in the cut, you know, where, like, this is where the locals are really hanging out.
I want to overhear conversations between people, you know. Like, for example, when we were in Guatemala, we went to Lake Atitlan, and we were trying to get a boat to a town across the lake. And all the guys at the little beach area were trying to get us on their private boat. And they're like, you don't want to take the public boat, you know. Of course, they were trying to make money, and I understand that. But we wanted to take the public boat, which is the equivalent of a bus, because all the locals were on the boat. And we got to see this adorable family being really cute. And the little boys kept trying to get to the front of the boat. And the mom was screaming at them and, you know, playing with their toys, and it was awesome.
And the whole time, that's what the guy was telling me. You're going to be on a boat with a bunch of other people. Like, you don't want to do that. I'll take you there in half the time, and it'll just be you. And it's like, homie, I don't mind being on the boat for twice the time. Like, I'm going to enjoy my little boat ride here, and I want to be around the people.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you totally
do. But you know what? That guy's totally operating on when Americans come here, they want to throw their money around. And they want to just, like, be left alone. They want to look at the culture, but they don't actually want to be in it.
Right, exactly. They want to be able to observe it like a National Geographic episode, but they don't want to be immersed in it.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
They don't want to take any risks or feel uncomfortable or...
I wonder, you know, if that'll even be like an option in London, because, you know, it's just so, it's so similar, I guess, when I think of it. It's so similar to where we live now.
Well, and that's why, like I said, if somebody was like, where would you want to go next in the world? If you can go anywhere, London would be pretty low on my list.
What would be high? Where would you like to go if you could go anywhere? And it doesn't have to be your number one choice, just, you know, whatever comes to mind.
The first thing that comes to mind is Thailand, because it's just as cheap as Guatemala, and it's very different.
I would love, love to see Thailand. Yeah. And actually, because of the number of Cambodian people that I know and the stuff that I've seen about Cambodia, that is also another place really like to go to.
India, Sri Lanka, that whole region of Asia would be fantastic to go and see. Yeah. Yeah, I think that comes first. Of course, anywhere in South America is always... sounds great.
Yeah.
Africa sounds cool to me.
There's not a lot of places where I wouldn't want to go.
Yeah.
Antarctica. Yeah. Wouldn't want to go there.
But yeah, I mean, London is certainly very westernized. I think we will have some culture shock experiences. I think we will feel uncomfortable. And I'm really hoping that we can make friends or acquaintances with some locals enough to the point where we can have some experiences that feel, you know, authentic to us and feel like we're getting a taste of something different than what we're used to. But,
okay.
You know, getting back to the travel philosophy, I think if I could sum it up to one word, it would be, I travel because I want to feel transformed.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
You want to come back being different than the person who left. Forever, permanently changed.
You know, like, I really want to feel like, and I think that this happens only with people who really get into traveling. I really want to feel like a citizen of the planet.
Yeah.
And not like, you know, I'm a citizen of the world, man. Let's go recycle stuff. I mean, like, like, I really want to feel like I'm a part of the entire human race, you know? Like, I want to feel like I'm a part of this planet and not just like, I'm in this little pocket full of SUVs and people bitching about their taxes and gas prices. You know, like, I want to feel like, no, I've been to where people have a serious complaint about, like, not being able to get around.
Yeah.
You know?
So, where people are starving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, seriously. But I want more reasons to celebrate why it's wonderful to be a human being. And there's only a limited thing that can happen in the environment you're raised in, even in terms of what you notice, because you've seen it every day. But you get launched into a brand new environment, even one as similar as London.
Yeah.
And you're going to notice wonderful things. And you're going to be able to go, oh, man, that's amazing. Wow, human beings did this. Or they think this weird thing. Or they do this crazy thing. Or, you know.
I have this term that I use when we go places. It's called traveler eyes.
Yes.
And when you turn on your traveler eyes, everything is like so new and interesting and everything. And one of the experiences that Rachel and I had, and let me just tell you, Rachel is the perfect travel partner. If you're ever going on a trip, take Rachel with you, because she knows when to shut up. But she also pulls her weight when it's conversation time. So it's like, you could go for a long time and not have to talk to this person and just kind of be in your head and enjoying what you're doing. Or you can reflect with the other person. And Rachel's really good at that.
Well, thank you, dear.
Well, thank you. And she knows a lot of the songs, too. So, you know, when it's time to sing, she knows some travel songs. So, oh, man, I forget why I was even bringing that up.
I think you were going to...
Oh, no, okay, I remember. Because when we came back from our road trip, that's why I was thinking about what a great travel partner you were. When we came back from our road trip, when we drove to cross country and back, we had been gone for like 3 months on that trip. We still had our traveler eyes on.
Oh, yes.
When we got to Long Beach. And it was like this really cool experience of like being in the place where we live and feeling like we're seeing it as a foreigner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the first time again.
Yeah. So like just having that experience, it really makes you feel like you're more connected to where you are, you know?
Well, you know, and I feel it's important to remark upon this, that when you've been all across the country and you've spent like 2 months in Ohio, for example, and then you've come back to Long Beach, everybody in Long Beach is beautiful. Okay, maybe not everybody, but compared to other places in America, they're thin, they're gorgeous, they're young, they're well-dressed. Like, everybody's trying to be a rock star in L.A. in general.
Right.
Everybody's trying to be a rock star. Everybody's trying. Everybody's got tattoos or, you know, has crazy purple hair. But you go to, not London, but when you go to Ohio, it's like people look very normal.
I think that's going to wrap us up.
Yes, we're all done now.
Okay.
Ta-da!
Ta-da. So there we go. Again, everybody, check out TravelTube.com. Thank you, De Novo Doll and Outside Residential. We love... Yes, Rachel. Every time.
I want to say something.
Go ahead.
It looks like you won't give me a chance to say it.
I'm giving you a chance now.
Okay. Okay. I always wanted to do this. Are you ready?
My God, what?
Oh, we're the boys of the chorus. We hope you liked our show. We know you're rooting for us, but now we have to go.
www.theruckus.wordpress.com. Go start a ruckus.
We hope you liked our show. We know you're rooting for us, but now we have to go.